Good morning. One of our neighboring parishes had a pastor not too many years ago, but a little before my time, who had the unfortunate experience of having the air conditioner go out at a morning mass where it was very hot. So to keep things short, he simply got up to the microphone at the time of the homily and he said, "If you think this is hot," and then he walked off. But the air conditioner is working well today, so you do not have that advantage. I've shared with you before that one of the prayer methods that St. Ignatius suggests to us is to meditate upon a character in the gospel story. By putting yourselves in the shoes of one of those characters. You imagine the tastes, the sights, the sounds, everything around you. Today I would suggest that you put yourself in the shoes of Jairus, this synagogue official. He's a Jew. He knows about Jesus, but being a synagogue official, he's not supposed to associate with Jesus. You see, Jesus was a very controversial figure. But number one, he teaches us something very important. He teaches us awareness. Awareness of what is outside our own world. You see, for him being a synagogue official, you might be able to go up to him and ask him a question about Judaism. He should know, right? But to go up and ask him a question about, well, where's Jesus right now? You wouldn't expect him to necessarily know. Yet, right in the midst of him dealing with his own daughter's impending death, he knows exactly where Jesus is. Keep in mind, it says the gospel that Jesus had just come over across the sea. He just arrived in town, and yet the synagogue official is aware of his being there amidst his daughter being sick. You see, guys, there's a tendency that we have, especially I think in America, as Americans, to get really wrapped up in our own activities. Some of you here today, you've got a lot going on this summer. You've got ball games for your kids and family obligations and various things you're doing at the Y or with other programs around town. And we get so caught up in our own little worlds, don't we? We all do this. We get caught up in our own little world. And Jairus teaches us today that there's an awareness that a Christian should have outside your own world, even in very traumatic events. His daughter's dying, and he's still aware of what's going on outside his own house. Brothers and sisters, are you aware of what's going on outside of your house? Particularly, I would suggest, in your own Christian community. Do you know who the new teachers are this coming year at our school? Do you know what our parish finances are like as they're reported every weekend in the bulletin? What was the last bulletin article that the pastor wrote? And what was it about? Who's in the hospital right now from our parish? And are you praying for them? We need to have an awareness of what's going on outside of our own homes. Secondly, Jairus teaches us courage. I mentioned that he was a synagogue official, that he shouldn't have a whole lot to do with Jesus. Guys, this is analogous to, say, the Pope and the bishops saying, well, guys, you really shouldn't have anything to do with this preacher over here. This Father Matt guy, he's crazy. Don't have anything to do with him, right? And yet, Jairus has the courage to go out and be associated with this guy, Jesus, who's teaching heresy. He's saying, I'm the Son of God, I'm the Messiah. He's demonstrating the power of God. And remember, they're strict monotheists. So to have somebody other than Yahweh claiming to be God, okay, this guy's preaching heresy. Don't have anything to do with him. But you know what? What drove Jairus to do that? Need, right? His little girl's dying. He'd do anything for her. He's driven by need to go outside his comfort zone. Brothers and sisters, you have that same need. I was sitting in my office, my little makeshift office over here in the school the other day, and what's great is I can sit back there and nobody knows I'm there. And I hear down the hall somebody who came in and they read the instructions for some of our demolition the other day, and they exclaimed very loudly, they said, "Well, I don't know how to do that." And I kind of smiled to myself as I was sitting there in my office, because that's exactly how I felt my first day at Christ the King. I mean, guys, sometimes we don't expand beyond our comfort zone. Sometimes we don't grow until we're forced into it. And God has a crazy way of doing that, doesn't He? He forces us into situations that we're not comfortable with or where we don't know what to do. Guys, there was no course in seminary on finances for the parish, believe it or not. There was no course in seminary on how to give good homilies. They just sit there and basically have you write them and they grade them, give you some feedback on them. There's no course on what to do with a crying woman in your office who won't stop crying. But you know what? I found out as a priest, and I think more importantly as a Christian, that if all I do is turn to God and say, "God, help me out, show me what to do," He will always answer your prayers. Some of you, as Christians, I dare say many of you, fall to the same error of sticking within your comfort zone and not going outside of it. And why do we do that? Because it's easy and we don't need to go outside of it, right? But the path to hell is easy too. Brothers and sisters, it is a requirement. It is a must for a Christian, if they want to be a Christian, to grow outside their comfort zone. Does God want you to shrink or grow? He wants you to grow. He wants to give you gifts. And you can't do that without growing outside your comfort zone. He's also, Jairus, this synagogue official, he's willing to face ridicule. As part of growing outside this comfort zone, he's willing to face ridicule. And you know what? I hear this a lot as a priest in the confessional. People who say, "Father, I witnessed gossip at work today and I didn't do anything about it." Or, "I was with the guys out on the line and they were telling some dirty jokes and I just kind of listened." Why don't we speak up about those things as Christians? Because we're afraid of the ridicule, right? We're afraid that somebody's going to say, "Well, what's wrong with you? You're all holier than thou." But again, if a Christian is willing to go outside their comfort zone, they're also willing to face ridicule, like Jesus did in the gospel today. I mean, just imagine. We don't know. There's various times in Scripture where Jesus had human knowledge and various times in Scripture where He had divine knowledge. Imagine Jesus, He's coming to this person's house and somebody runs out and says, "The girl's dead," right? And his father says, "Jesus, she's not dead, and I'm going to work a miracle. Just go on in there." If you're Jesus, how do you feel, right? Because if it were me, I'd be standing there like, "Dad, they're telling me she's dead. You sure you want me to say that? I'm going to look ridiculous." Guys, God asks you to look ridiculous all the time. Just look at me, right? Every weekend. Guys, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Are you willing to be a fool for Christ? As St. Paul says. Lastly, Jairus teaches us what I would call faithful patience. I want you to imagine this scenario. You're down at St. Francis Hospital with your 12-year-old daughter. She's lying in a hospital bed. Her diagnosis is terminal. She's taking her last breath. She's gasping. You're sitting there holding her hand. They said, "Well, we just can't find any doctors that know what to do for her," right? And then a nurse pops in as you're sitting there holding your daughter's hand as she's dying and says, "We heard about a doctor. He's in the hospital and he thinks he knows what to do." You as a parent, what would you do? You would run, you would bolt out of that room, go running across the hospital, if you could find your way through it, and find this doctor, and you would drag him back to your daughter's room and make him do whatever he needed to do to save your daughter. Yet what happens along the way is this woman who's been in the hospital for 12 years, she's a big mooch, she doesn't have a terminal disease, she stops the doctor and says, "Doctor, will you help me?" And you're standing there in the shoes of Jairus, And you're thinking, my daughter's taking her last breath. You have a non-terminal disease. Leave the doctor alone and let me have him, right? And that's exactly how Jairus felt when Jesus turns his attention to this woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years. It's not fatal. It's, you know, it's bad. But it's not immediately threatening, and yet his daughter's at home dying? And how did Jairus feel? How do you feel when you feel like God is answering the prayers of somebody else out there, but not yours? Especially when you see and you feel like God's answering somebody else's prayers out there that aren't as important as mine, and he's not taking care of some really immediate needs that I have. God will do this to you. God will allow that to happen in your life. He will answer other people's prayers and not yours. And just like in the gospel today, he will do it for his greater glory. Sure, Jesus could have said, woman who's been hemorrhaging for 12 years, wait right here, I'll be back. I'm going to go heal the girl first because her need is more immediate, and then I'll come back to you, right? He could have said that, but he didn't. Because God knew there was something more important at stake. And it wasn't even the girl's life. It was the relationship of Jairus' family with Jesus that was more important. How many of you get down on your knees and you pray for better finances, or for somebody to not die or to be healed, or for somebody's cancer to be taken away, but don't get down on your knees just to be with God? You see, a lot of us approach our relationship to God because we're more interested in what he can do for us than who he is. And you know what? God's sitting up there saying, no, guys, I'm more interested in who I am and who you are than what I can do for you in this life. How do you approach God? As somebody who can do something for you, or somebody who is somebody for you? Jesus and Jairus ask us to reflect on three things today. Number one, are we aware of what's going on outside our own homes, especially in our church community? Because with awareness comes opportunity. For Jairus, the opportunity to have his daughter healed. What opportunity might God give you if only you were aware? If you made yourself particularly aware of what was going on outside your home. Number two, are you willing to be courageous, to go outside your comfort zone, to grow into somebody you're not right now? Because with courage comes blessing and growth. For Jairus, it was the courage to go out and talk to a man that he wasn't supposed to talk to. And the blessing was that his daughter would be saved. What blessing does God want to give you even greater than that if you're willing to go outside your comfort zone? And lastly, are you faithfully patient? Because with patience, God blesses us not just with an immediate outcome or the fulfillment of an immediate need, but with something more. For Jairus, not only the healing of his daughter, but more importantly, a relationship with the Savior. For you, not just the answer to your prayers, not just asking God for something, but being in a relationship with the eternal, omnipotent, and all-powerful God who saves you and gives you eternal life.